of unity, and then we're going to talk about how do we create and maintain unity. How many of you know that God says that we're one body, we're one loaf, and we're one church? Amen. Many members, but one body. Amen. And there is great blessing, there is great benefits and power released when we understand this principle and this purpose of unity in the body of Christ. How many of you, you want to be one? Amen. Listen, one heart for God, one purpose in God, one vision in God. Amen. One body moving together. Moving together in lockstep as directed by Jesus, the head of the church. In Psalm 133, I want to read these few short verses, and then we're going to talk a little bit this morning about, first of all, the benefits of unity. Verse 1, he says, how good and pleasant it is when brothers live together in unity. It is like precious oil poured on the head, running down the beard, running down on Aaron's beard, down upon the collar of his robes. It is as if the dew of Hermon were falling on Mount Zion. For there the Lord commands his blessing, even life forevermore. Hallelujah. The benefits of unity. Notice what he said here. He said that first benefit is, he said it is good and pleasant. It creates an atmosphere where the faith and anointing of God can flow. Listen, God called us to be one. What does it mean to be one? Oh, that means that everybody sees it my way. Are you kidding me? Are you kidding me? That's not what's going to bring. That's not what's going to bring forth unity, is it? Listen, the Bible says that we are what? To submit one to another. Isn't that true? Why are we submitting one to another? Because everybody don't see it my way. I wish they did. Don't you ever feel that way? Don't you think? Every one of us, we've got an opinion. We've got our way of thinking. We think, you know, it ought to be this way or that way or the other way. But notice what he says here. He says, when we can come together in unity, not around an opinion, but we come in unity around this aspect, what? That it creates an atmosphere that is good, an atmosphere where God bestows his blessing, an atmosphere where the Holy Spirit can move and touch lives and meet the needs of people. You know, did anybody see the forum last night from Rick Warren's church? Did you watch that? Wasn't that good? Good insight, wasn't it? Good insight. But you know, of all that was said, I remember this first this point that was made so good when it comes to unity about Rick Warren's book, Purpose Driven Life. Great book. The first phrase in his book is, "It's not about you." Oh, glory to God. And listen, if we want unity, that's the first truth we got to get home into our hearts and minds. It's not just about me. It's about the kingdom. It's about what God wants. It's about God's purpose. It's about God's plan. And listen, unless we come together in unity, God's purpose and God's plan cannot be realized. He said it's only in unity where there is a pleasant atmosphere, where there is a good atmosphere, where there is an atmosphere of acceptance, of love, of forgiveness, of faith, of us joined together, one another. Not because we dot every I and cross every T exactly the same way. Lord of mercy, that's not going to happen this side of heaven. Isn't that true? You know, how many think the Apostle Paul was probably a pretty spiritual man? Didn't he write, "For we see in part and we know in part"? Well, if you know in part, that means there's some parts you don't know. Isn't that right? So here's the thing. All of us have got areas where we got blind spots. All of us got areas where we could grow some more, where we could learn some more about the kingdom of God. So there's no use us getting all puffed up as if we had the corner on it all. Isn't that true? And when we come to understand that, then we can understand that the benefits of us coming into unity is much more important than me just getting my way all the time. Thank you for your enthusiasm. Amen. He says here, he says it's good and it's pleasant when we dwell together in unity. He implies there that it's not going to be good and it's going to be unpleasant when we dwell together in division. Do you remember the Apostle Paul writing to the church at Corinth? Isn't it interesting? Of all the churches, as far as we know, of all the churches that Paul visited, that he established, and that he wrote to, this one church, it had to have two letters. Do you ever think about that? I mean, there's no second Ephesians. Isn't that right? You know, there's no third Colossians. I mean, if you'll read Corinthians, you'll find out one of the big reasons was, is because there was so much division in that church. They needed more dealing with. There was division there. They were all saying, I mean, one little group, they were over here, well, bless God, we following Paul. And another little group over here, well, I'll tell you what, we're following Apollos. Well, bless God, I'll tell you what, we're following this elder. We're following this teacher. Oh, we're following this evangelist. I sure am, honey. Listen, nothing new under the sun. Listen, and Paul said, didn't he say in James, where the Apostle James said this? He said, where there is strife and division, there is every evil work. In other words, you opening the door. We open the door for the enemy to come in when there is strife. That's true in your life, that's true in your home, and it's true in the church. And it won't be good and it won't be pleasant. As long as we maintain my own rights and my own pride and my own way above the kingdom of God. And there's a whole lot too much of that going on in the body of Christ. Thank you for your enthusiasm. I know this. You say, oh, Pastor, preach us something that makes us happy. Well, this will make you happy when you do it. Amen. Let me just give you, help you out here, a little side note here. The more you hear revelation and the less you do it, the more unhappy and unsatisfied you will be. Come on. Because the Bible, the principle in the scriptures is, happy are ye if you do it. Why? Because that word's going to be speaking to you. Once that word enters in, it's going to be talking to you. You know, you may not be around me, but it's still going to be talking to you. Isn't that right? Unity in the body of Christ. Notice he says, this unity is like a precious oil poured down on Aaron. Now, everybody remembers Aaron was the high priest, wasn't he? He was anointed, what? To present the sacrifice that covered the sins of the nation. And he was the one who was anointed to come into the presence of God. Isn't that right? Anybody else that went in, guess what? They died. Tradition says, now you won't find this in the scriptures, but tradition says that even the high priest, you know, because I don't have time to get into it, but the high priest, if he didn't do everything just right, well, if he dies in there, who's going to go get him? You got any volunteers? So tradition says they used to would tie a rope around him. And when the bells that were on the end of his rope, when they didn't jingle anymore, they knew it was time to haul him in. Or haul him out, rather, yeah. We laugh, but it wasn't funny to them, was it? And see, he said this unity is just like that anointing, that precious special anointing that God put upon Aaron to come into the presence of God, to minister to God on behalf of the people. And listen, church, if we do not value the anointing, that precious anointing of unity here at Grace. Listen, we will have no anointing to minister before God, and we will have no anointing to minister to people who are hurting on behalf of God. He said, this is the way it is. Because what? When that oil was poured, it started at the head, didn't it? And it went down, 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 completely to the feet. In other words, every part of his body was covered with that anointing oil. Amen? In other words, every one of us have a place and a part in the body. And that anointing is not just on the head. Who's the head? Christ is the head. But it's not just on Christ the head. That anointing goes all the way down. And here's the thing. If the feet won't cooperate with the head's going to have some trouble. If the hands won't cooperate with the head's going to have some trouble. Isn't that right? That's why God didn't just anoint Christ. He had to anoint the whole body, because the whole body needs to be able to cooperate with the head. And he said, that's what this unity produces. It releases that anointing that God has placed first on the head, Christ Jesus. Then it flows down to every part of the body. That means every one of us are useful. Every one of us are productive. Every one of us are causing increase. And not one of us, because of the anointing, not because of our own self, but because we're flowing in that anointing, we do not hinder the purpose, the plan of God, and the unity of God. There's a whole lot of Christians in the body of Christ that they have stepped out from under the anointing. Are you listening to me? This anointing of unity. They think it nothing about it. They'll talk about leadership. They'll talk about fellow Christians. They'll criticize. They'll judge. They'll talk about it. You know. Oh yeah. You think I don't know that? I didn't just fall off the turnip wagon. I've been at this 30 years. Like Dad Hagin used to say, you just stumble on some things after that length of time. I have stumbled on a few things. Oh yeah. And you know, it's because, you know, and I hope, it isn't always the case, but I hope most of the time that people do it out of ignorance. But you know, like I said, if you accidentally step in front of an 18-wheeler, you're just as dead as if you did it on purpose. You may be hurting the body and God's purposes by ignorance, but you're still hurting it. Listen. What you say, what you do, the attitude you allow to remain in your life, it does affect the rest of us. It does affect even the head. And you know, it amazes me. You know, here in our culture in America, we let it get in the church. We just think, well, bless God, I have a right to speak my mind. I thought you gave up your rights when you made Jesus Lord. Is that right, Royce? Have I got it right? You heard him. Listen, I believe God has great plans for us. We have great potential as a part of the body of Christ here at Grace. But I want to tell you what, if we don't come into unity, what was the thing that kept the Israelites from the promised land? Oh, it must have been Moses wasn't anointed. He just didn't have it, did he? No, Moses was anointed. But here's the thing. That anointing wasn't allowed to flow down. Okay, the people didn't walk in the anointing. That could have been their share. That could have been their portion. Amen? And certainly none of us are the head. But whatever place we are in the body, that anointing, God desires it to flow through us. And if that anointing flows through us, then you know what we're going to begin to see? We're going to begin to see our ability to minister to God, and then for that anointing to flow out to us to minister to others. I'm talking about the benefits right now. Notice this. He said there, this place where there's unity, God says He's going to command His blessing. Listen, Grace, if we want the blessing, listen, this church will not fulfill its purpose, its vision, and its calling unless we have the blessing of God on us. It won't do it because we got great elders. We got great elders, but that's not going to get it. It's not going to get it because, you know, whatever. You just name whatever you want to announce. That's not going to get it. We're going to have what? The blessing of God's got to be upon us. Because you can work and work and work. You can pray and pray and pray. You can do all kinds of things. You know, we can have every guest speaker from A to Z in here. But unless the blessing of God is upon us, is spoken over us, we will not prosper. And listen, That has to do with each one of us determining and purposing that above all, we are going to protect and promote unity here at Grace. Now, I'm going to tell you what, that's going to cost you something. Amen? Because not everybody's going to do everything you like. That's not a revelation to you, is it? Everybody's not going to do what you like. They're not going to do it your way. But here's the thing. At that point when we're tempted to, you know, to give them a piece of our mind. Like I say, some people need to be careful. They're down to their last piece. They've given away so much. But when we're all tempted to do that, what do we got to do? Say, no, you know what? Unity is more important. The kingdom of God is more important. Seeing God move and touch lives is more important. Amen. And listen, unless you make that decision, I want to tell you what, you're going to be causing friction in the body. Amen. You know, one of the greatest inventions since the dawn of time that's ever come along has been what? The wheel. Isn't that right? One of the great inventions. You know, one of the things it did is that what? It helped in a dramatic way to overcome friction. Because before that, you try dragging 300 pounds on the ground, or you try rolling it on a cart. And strife is that same way. Strife is like causing all kinds of spiritual friction. And here, you know, people who are trying to maintain unity, here we are, we're pulling the load. And here's the thing, there's so much friction there. Why aren't we making any progress? Why aren't we making any faster? Because we're having so much friction to overcome. But if we'd get into unity as the body of Christ, then you know what? We'd find out that we got a set of Holy Ghost wheels that God's put on this thing. And all of a sudden, we begin to roll along and the friction has been reduced dramatically. Thank you. It is good. He said, listen, the only place that God's going to command His blessing is where unity is. Where unity is. Okay? We can pray and we can do all the things we're doing. But I'm going to tell you what, unless we esteem and establish unity, it's not going to happen. He said the Lord's going to command His blessing there, even life. You know what I want? I want this place to be a place of a life-giving church. I want people to come in here and come into touch with the life-giving one, Jesus. I want life to flow out from us. I want life in our worship, life in our prayers, life in our men's and women's group, life with our young people, life in the church, life in our services, life that goes out from our lips and our hands, life in our prayers. I want life. He said He'd command life there. You know, we want to see signs and wonders and miracles. I'm going to tell you what, we're going to have to get in unity. That means there might be some people in here, you're going to have to watch this thing right here. You go home and have fried preacher. Listen. We'll let you pastor a while if you want to. And we'll see if you do it all right. You know, if you was pastoring, you might not do everything the way everybody likes either. Isn't that true? And here's the thing, that's what I'm saying, and it's true about all of us. That's why what? We got what he said, to forbear, forgive, be long-suffering, be gentle. Nowhere in there did he say, chew them up, talk about them, criticize them. Isn't that right? Then also, one last thing, and then we're going to talk about some enemies and then creating unity. He said that, how many of you know that there is exponential power released when we come into agreement and unity. Amen. Now, remember what Jesus said. We know over there in Matthew 18, He said, if two of you shall agree. You know what? We've kind of dealt with that truth, that scripture, on a superficial level. Most of us thought that meant, I can just come here and you and I will pray a prayer, you know, about something we need or want, and we say, okay, I'm in agreement with you. And that's, as you know, that's about as deep as we've got on that understanding. But listen, if there's strife, if there's contention, if there's backbiting, if we're criticizing one another, and then we think we're going to come up here and pray some prayer of faith, You're just being religious. Listen, that scripture's a lot deeper than that. You know, I can't be talking about you and criticizing you, and then you come up here and say, "Pastor, I want you to agree with me." I'm not in agreement with you. I just said some words that you that sounded good to you. Oh, it's quiet in here. But when we come in agreement, what? It's multiplied. One can put 1,000. Two can put 10,000. And so on. But here's the thing. We've got to come into agreement. Our prayer life will change when we are unified. The corporate anointing, it releases an exponential working of the kingdom of God, of God's power. And you know, when it's exponential, that means what? It's what? Rapid increase. You know, they say you could take a checkerboard, you know, like a regular checkerboard or chessboard. And you can take it on that first little square there. You put one grain of corn. And then you double it on each succeeding squares. By the time you get to the last square, there's not enough corn grown on the planet to put on it. That's the power of exponential growth. That's the power that we can see by the grace of God working through us. But here's the thing. All these benefits are from unity. Let me talk about some enemies of unity. Turn over to 1 Corinthians real quickly. Got to read some from 1 Corinthians, because these guys, they had a real problem with strife. Do you know strife is based in the flesh? Yeah. You want your way. You want your way. Isn't that right? I want my way. You want your way. They want their way. And bless God, we don't mind tearing up the church to get it. Come on. What do you think usually causes church splits? A move of God. But rarely. Most church splits you read about, know about, I'm going to tell you what, they come because of this very thing. Oh, I don't like something. I thought you was dead. That's what the Bible says. You're dead and your life is hidden in Christ. You ever heard a dead man complain? That's why a graveyard's so silent. There's no complaints. Like that, huh? Listen, 1 Corinthians 10, enemies of unity. I appeal to you, brothers, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that all of you agree with one another, so that there may be no divisions among you, that you may be perfectly united in mind and thought. Boy, that's a big expectation Paul had, wasn't it? He said, my brothers, some from Chloe's household have informed me that there are quarrels among you. Oh, no, Paul, not in the church. What I mean is this. One of you says, well, I follow Paul. Another, I follow Apollos. Another, I follow Cephas. Another, still another, I follow Christ. Whew. Is Christ divided? Is he? Then why are we trying to divide him? No wonder the church as a whole is weak. No wonder we don't see the miracles. No wonder we don't see the power. What do you think we're going to do? Just get out our magic wand and wave over you and go abracadabra? No, God has a plan and a purpose in the way he's going to do it. And I found out this way. Once you know what God says, it's his way or the highway. He don't vote on it. Are you listening? Amen? There's no voting. You can't find voting in the Bible. Is it either people either choose to go God's way or they choose not to, but there ain't no voting about it. So here's the thing. What are we going to do? We're going to have to understand this. If there are divisions and factions and things like this, well, I don't like that. I think the other guy did a better job, and I don't like this, and I don't like that, and I wish this was better, and blah, 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 blah. I'm telling you what, if I hear about it, I'm going to come see you. I'll do it in love, but I'm going to come see you. Because I'm not going to lay my life down while you're over there trying to destroy what the rest of us are trying to build. You know, if you just can't get along with us, why do you hang around? Oh, I ain't never heard a pastor talk like that. Well, listen, I'm serious about what I want to see God do here. That's okay. You're not going to hurt my feelings. You know? If you don't like the way we're doing things, hey, I understand that. That's fine. But either overlook that and let's come into agreement, or pray and say, God, where's my place? Where's my spot? Where do I belong? Maybe you need to be in another tribe somewhere. I don't know. You know, we want you to stay, but not at any cost. Some costs aren't worth it. And if you're going to create disunity and strife and schisms and divisions and little cliques and all that kind of thing, then you know what? You're going to hurt us more than you're helping us. So we have to decide what's important here. So divisions and factions. Now notice this. He goes on. He said, here pride and competition come in. You know, each one, I'll tell you one thing. Bless God, there ain't nobody better than Paul. I'm following Paul. Well, man, you ain't heard Apollos teach yet. Come on. We run around and we're creating competition. Yeah. Oh, this person and that person and this is better and that's better and this is better and that's better. That's competition and pride. That's flesh. Yeah. You know, of course, one's going to be real super spiritual. Well, I'm following Jesus. You know, we ought to all be following Jesus. Isn't that right? But pride and competition, focusing on a human vessel rather than focusing on Christ the head, will always cause there to be division. Because I'm going to tell you what. Listen, if Jesus in the flesh was pastoring Grace, somebody wouldn't like something he said or did. You say, how do you know that? Because I can read the Bible. When he came in his day, I mean, they accused him of everything. He's a drunkard. He is possessed of the devil. He was upsetting all the traditions of the, you know, of the church at that time and the fathers. You know, doing things, you know, without proper authority from the rabbinical school. Man, he got criticized coming and going, Gary. And he was perfect. So here's the thing. You know, nobody's going to do it perfectly. He was the only one. Nobody's going to do it perfectly. You know? You know, here's the thing. You know, sometimes, you know, we get the grass is greener syndrome. Oh, it's greener over there at that church. And so we go over there. But I promise you, as soon as you get over there, if you don't change your attitude, you're going to find what's wrong over there too. Because there's something right and something wrong in every church. Isn't that right? That's just a fact. So here's the thing. Let's don't let pride, let's don't let competition, let's don't let factions, let's don't let this human flesh, let's don't get so caught up. Listen, it's not all depending on any one person here in Grace. It's depending on all of us under Jesus. Amen? It's on Him. So here's the thing. Let's build unity together. Now let me talk about creating and maintaining unity in the few minutes I have left. First of all, turn over to Psalm 127. Y'all getting something out of this? It's good for us, Grace. Listen, everything can't be always be about the blessing. But I'm going to tell you what, if we do this, you'll have the blessing. And we'll have a blessing that's not just about meeting our needs, but it's about meeting the needs of the nation or this area God's called us to. Listen, I didn't uproot and come down here just to have some nice church services. I had nice church services where I was. That's not why I'm here. I'm here because I believed that God sent and had a vision and a purpose. And I believe that there was a people here who said they had a purpose. And that our purposes intersected under God. And that through that intersection, God wanted to do and build something that was permanent, that was a great blessing, and that would reach our community and our generation. Amen. And I'm willing to sacrifice for that. How about you? I'm willing to not get my way every time. How about you? I'm willing to pay the price in prayer, in forgiveness, and walking in love. I'm willing to do that. I'm willing to give my time, my life, my finances. I'm willing to do that. How about you? Creating and maintaining unity. Psalm 127, verse 1. Unless the Lord builds the house, its builders labor in vain. I do not, listen, if we do not have unity, then I want to tell you something. The commanded anointing and blessing of God will not be upon what we're doing. So we may get something done, but it won't be the Lord that's building it. We will be laboring in vain. And I do not want to run this Christian life. I do not want to run my life in vain. How about you? I don't want to get at the end of my days and say, God, I struggled and struggled and prayed and cried and spent sleepless nights and did all that for what? How about you? My life is important to me. I'm sure yours is to you, isn't it? So I want the Lord to build the house. So if we're going to create and maintain unity, what do? We exalt the head. Let's focus on Jesus here at Grace. Amen. When you're tempted to look and see all my faults and weaknesses and things you don't like, the way I do it and everything, and I talk Southern, and I mean, I'm sure you can find a million things wrong. I can probably find 2 million. But here's the thing, you know, whether it's me or somebody else, let's, at that moment, let's just switch and say, you know what? I'm going to set my eyes on Jesus. He's the head of Grace. He's the head of this church. He's in charge here. He's the one that's called us together. He's the one that's anointing us. He's the one that's enabling us. He's able to do it. Amen. He's able to do it. He's building the house here at Grace. It's not just the pastor. It's not just this one or that one or the other one. It's all of us together. But we got our eyes on Jesus. Because He's the only one you're going to look at and not be disappointed in. You know, I wish I was perfect for you, but I'm not. I wish you was perfect for me, but you're not. So there we are. We're on equal playing ground, isn't it? So let's exalt the head. We're talking about how do we maintain, you know, we exalt the head. Then we recognize and appreciate our different callings and giftings. Turn over to 1 Corinthians 12 real quickly. I've got to finish up because we're going to pray for our teachers and students today. 1 Corinthians 12, verse 27, says, now you, he's speaking to the Corinthians again, are the body of Christ, and each one of you is a part of it. None of us are the whole, we're a part. But the parts together make the whole. Amen? And you know, I don't want us to be limping here at Grace. Because somebody, you know, that was supposed to be a joint in the leg didn't take its place. How are we going to run the race if we got a limp? Amen. We each one of us need to understand. Oh, I'd like to be the eye. Well, that's true until you take a step and your leg gives away on you. Isn't that right? Then all of a sudden the leg becomes very important, doesn't it? He says, you're a part. He said, in the church, God has appointed. First of all, prophets, our apostles, prophets, teachers, workers of miracles. He goes on and lists these. And then he goes on and asks some rhetorical questions. He said, is everybody a prophet? Is everybody an evangelist? Is everybody an apostle? Is everybody this or that? And the answer, of course, is no. But here's the thing. Each one of us have a place. Each one of us have a part. Amen? And when we see each part as being vital, to the direction and the work of the head, which is Christ. Amen? Because remember what we said? What can the head do without the rest of the body? If the arms won't take signals from the brain, from the head, what can we get done? Isn't that right? If the mouth won't line up with the head, what can we get done? We can go right on down, can't we? So it's all flowing from the head, which is Christ. That's who we got our eyes upon. He's the head of the church. And it flows down from Him. And each one of us have our own peculiar part of that anointing, our own peculiar responsibility and function. And when we all value and esteem every part's valuable. Every part's valuable. Don't think that what you have to offer is not as important. Everybody here, if God called you to Grace, if God's planted you here, if you're in the body of Christ, if you're a believer, listen, God didn't just call you so that you could sit down and soak up the blessing. He has called you and anointed you, and you have a place and a part. And without you, we are incomplete. We are incomplete. This is why Paul wrote to this same church and he said, stop comparing yourselves to one another. That's pride. that engenders competition. I'm not in competition with you. I'm not in competition with anybody in here. You know? Oh, Pastor so-and-so can preach 10 times better than you. I don't doubt it. Thank God for it. Amen? And we want to help them find their place and preach up a storm. Isn't that right? That's what we're about. Amen? That doesn't threaten me, and it shouldn't threaten you. Here's the thing. Walk in humility. Walk in humility. Walk in humility. You know, doesn't matter what you lead. If you lead an organization, if you lead a nation, if you lead a church, you lead anything. You know what you are? You're a target. Because everything you see and say and do is scrutinized. Scrutinized and scrutinized and scrutinized. And dissected and looked at. And motives can be applied to you. Isn't that true? But here's the thing. Here's the thing. If we all walk in humility, you know what? I'll realize this, you know. Maybe your part that you're doing, maybe you're not doing it perfect, but you know what? There's a good chance I wouldn't even do it as good as you're doing it. Isn't that true? That's humility. The Bible says pride goes before fall. Isn't that right? Well, I know better. I could do it better. Man, I could sing better than any of them. You know, here's the thing. Let's find our place. Real quickly, turn to Ephesians. I got to close here because we got to pray. Ephesians 4. Walk in humility. Walk in love. Walk in love. This is probably the greatest thing that's going to preserve unity. Walk in love. Listen to this. Oh, man, I love this. Ephesians 4:30. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God with whom you were sealed on the day of redemption. Get rid of all bitterness and rage and anger and brawling and slander and every form of malice. Notice he didn't say, you know, have the prophet cast it out. He just wrote to him and said, get rid of it. Just get rid of it. If you're bitter, if you're criticizing, if you've got malice and bitterness and unforgiveness and you're talking about people in the body of Christ, get rid of it. You know, at my house, one of my many jobs at my house is to take out the garbage. Any of you guys have that illustrious job at your home? I mean, here is God's man of faith and power, called and anointed and appointed. Taking out the garbage. Thank you, honey. But you know, if you don't take out the garbage after a while, what would happen? It stinketh. To quote King Jimmy. It would smell, wouldn't it? And you know, that's what happened in when we don't deal with things that come up in our life. You know, people do you wrong. People innocently, most of the time, sometimes on purpose, but everybody gets hurt. Everybody gets wounded. People do things wrong. People don't always do things just right. Sometimes people do things they shouldn't do. Sometimes people fail to do things they should do. You know the story. So here's the thing. If we don't learn to what? Forgive. Notice what he goes on to say here. He says, be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other just as in Christ, God forgave you. If we don't practice that, things are going to start to smell in the house of God. Just like if you don't take out your garbage regularly in your house, something, we're going to walk in and we're going to smell something. And it's not going to be pleasant. And we're not going to want to stay any longer than we have to. And people come in to the house of God and there is a smell there because we haven't dealt with our garbage, because we're allowing unforgiveness and bitterness and criticism and all those things to come in and smell up and stink up the place. Then we wonder why. Why does God not move here? Well, listen, God don't want to smell it either. He don't want to smell your garbage. He just said, Paul said, get rid of it. He didn't say you had to pray about it. He didn't say fast about it. He didn't say get an apostle to cast it out. He just said get rid of it. Just like at my house. All Cindy says, she don't pray about it. She just said, hey, Norris, get the garbage out of here. She don't wait for a word from the Lord. That needs to be out. Be imitators of God, therefore. Imitators of God. How do we preserve unity? Let's imitate God as dearly loved children and live a life of love. Let's just do it. Can you imagine what God would do in a place where unity is here? And listen, this is not something that we can't do. This is not something that we cannot do. God will enable us. God will grace us. We can live together, grace, in unity. We can promote it. We can maintain it. We can cultivate it. We can preserve it if we are willing. And that is the key, isn't it? Are we willing? You know, perhaps why I've been sharing this, maybe the Holy Spirit's been speaking to your heart. Maybe, and this is going to be between you and God, but maybe there's somebody you need to forgive. Maybe you need to repent because you have been critical of someone, maybe of leadership even. You say, well, I was right. Well, there you go again. He said, be imitators of God. What did it say about Jesus? He said, Jesus, he gave up his rights. Listen, you don't have a right to stay mad. You don't have a right to harbor unforgiveness. You gave up that right. And if we want to maintain unity, we've got to do that. So this morning, maybe the Holy Spirit has spoken to you about something, you know. And I'm going to pray, and I'm just going to give us a few moments here. We're just going to do some housekeeping. It don't take some big thing. It just takes a decision. Paul wrote to him by the Holy Spirit. He said, just get rid of it. So what we're going to do is we're going to take out any garbage we need to take out. If we've been critical, if we've complained and murmured, if we've been judgmental, if we harbored unforgiveness, it doesn't matter whether the person was right, wrong, or indifferent. Here's the thing. We're going to maintain what? Unity. We're going to guard this thing right here. If we can't say something good about somebody here at Grace, we're not going to say it at all. We'll just stay quiet and pray. But here's the thing. I'm going to pray. I'm going to ask you, if you would, just bow your heads for a moment. And we're going to, as it were, take out any garbage we need to take out. Might be a few people. There might be some that's already smelling up. You know how you can tell when your garbage is smelling up spiritually? You got an attitude. Attitude. Oh, come on. We're going to deal with that. Now, Father, right now, by the Holy Spirit, Holy Spirit, you're speaking to hearts right now. I know you are. You're speaking to lives. Father, where we need to forgive, we're going to forgive. Where we need to release people who may have done us wrong, we're going to release them. Father, where people have failed us, we're going to release them. Where people haven't done things just the right way or the way we thought we were, it doesn't matter. We're not going to harbor any resentment, any ill will. We're going to release them. We're going to forgive. We're going to be long-suffering and forbear. We're just going to get rid of it now. We're going to be imitators of you, God, that while we were yet sinners, you forgave us. You released us. And you hold and harbor no ill will toward us. Lord, we release right now by the help, by your grace, and by the love of God. Father, I pray we will maintain unity here at Grace. We're going to walk in the Spirit. We're going to walk in humility. We're going to walk in love. We're going to put a guard over our mouth. We're going to speak words of grace and encouragement to one another. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. You said there you would command, your blessing, even life forevermore. Thank you, Father. Together, nothing is impossible for us here at Grace. Thank you, Lord. I thank you for this precious people. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name. All God's people said, amen and amen. Hallelujah. Just before we let you go, we want to pray. And I ask you, if you don't have somewhere to be, just hold on a minute with us so that you can help us pray. If you are a teacher, principal, administrator, or a student going back to school, I want you to usher and direct you, but I want you to just make a line right down this aisle right here, okay? Just come over here single file. Line up in this aisle if you would. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise God. I'm going to pray over you here in just a minute. Hallelujah. School's going back.